Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and Remy Motti. I'm really excited, guys, about our topic today. We're going to talk about friendships. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about squad goals. You know, we all have goals. We all have, what are our squad goals? And our guest this week is former Jacksonville Jaguar safety, Donovan Darius. We'll hear my interview with Donovan coming up. Donovan Darius now works with the NFL Legends community. I spent time with several of the players who are involved with the Legends community and some of their staff members at their events during Super Bowl week, and I really love the work that they do. Troy Vincent, the NFL's Executive Vice President of Football Operations, who we know very well as a former All-Pro cornerback with the Eagles and the Dolphins, he helped launch this NFL Legends community, this initiative a few years ago. And when I chatted with Troy about it, he stressed how the resources are available to every player, the 20,000-plus former players who ever put on a uniform. And it's not just for like what we consider to be legends. When we think about legends, yeah. Like I Googled NFL legends, right?
Yeah.
And I wrote this story, and I kind of wrote it this way. I Google NFL legends, and the first thing that comes up, Jim Brown,
yeah.
Peyton
Montana.
Manning,
yeah, yeah.
Joe Montana.
Yep.
Like, we think of NFL legends, but what they're doing, it's not like for only superstars, and we talk about this all the time. Like, everyone, we're all equal in God's eyes, and in this case, as Troy said it, and he said it very well to me, if you made it to this level, you are a legend.
Absolutely.
In your own right. Like, how many people dreamed of making it to the NFL? You had NFL aspirations, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
Going to college,
of course.
Playing football.
Yeah.
And to be an
less
NFL...
Less than 1%, Rob?
Is that what it
I
is?
I think that's like, what they said. It's like less than 1%.
Less get than 1% get to
actually
that.
Get to play a game in the NFL.
And wow. Like, you are a legend, man. Like, you make it, like, in your own community.
Absolutely.
You're a legend. You make it to the NFL. I don't care if you're on a practice squad and never, like, get a down in the NFL in your life. But you were there. Like, those guys who are on a practice squad, who are part of a Super Bowl team, we don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. Like, they're running scout team.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
There are guys who, like, sometimes you're running the opposing team's quarterback and you're really helping out your team. So it's pretty cool how they do this. And what the Legends community does is help the former players in so many various ways, from transitioning to life after football. Because so many of us know when those checks stop coming, life gets difficult, perhaps, for a lot of people.
I think it's one of the most important things that we can do, really, for the NFL players.
Yeah.
Because it's so difficult. Look, I understand what it's like, even after a college career, to play your last game, right? And most of the people, yeah, who are in the NFL don't go out voluntarily, right? They're
right.
It's injury or they're,
yeah,
cut. And so much of, especially as a man, so much of our ego, so much of our identity is tied together with what we do. And then to, in just one moment, to then say, who am I?
Yeah.
Really, who am I now? And to help make that, it's like a soldier coming back from battle, you know,
yeah,
for in a much different way. But, you know, they've been in this particular environment for so long, identified so long in what they do. And then one moment to find themselves in a much different situation. Vocationally, you know, personally, financially, things are different. So what they're doing is essential.
And what it is so many different resources, guys. It's transitioning for life after football, but they're making sure that these guys maintain their health with checkups.
Yes.
Mental health issues are such a big part of the game and life after the game. And like, whatever it is they need, I sat in on some of their meetings, and it astounded me because so many players were not aware that this resource, all of this is available to them, right? And they're set up there at Super Bowl week, and they've been doing it for a few years now. And they have, like, this incredible, beautiful ballroom and guys coming in. And there's, like, even the wives or the significant others can come in and like, there's a station where they can get their nails done. And like,
wow.
Some of the dudes are taking,
yeah,
advantage,
yeah,
of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Rob's like, hold on now.
Yeah, and, like, yeah. It's, you know, it's all kinds of awesome,
nice,
stuff. Just to let them come in, you're welcome.
Yes.
Come here. All of this stuff's available to you. Like, how are you guys doing right now? Like, what's happening in your life? And what I love is that, and you guys would appreciate this, is that so many of these former players that are involved, whether it's as a regional director or a community director, and now each team, they've grown to where each team has one, and a community director. Many of these guys are strong believers, strong, and their foundation for them, and when I talk to Troy about this, their foundation is service. And as Troy said to me, he was as he was putting the team together, and they're getting all of the right people. He says it's about having the right men who don't pass judgment and approach every situation with godly love. Godly love. And when you love the men unconditionally, you can serve them. And we've had episodes where we talked about what it's like to serve. So I was thinking, how great is it that these former players have this community, this brotherhood, these resources available to them? Because in life, like, all of us need a support system. We all need to surround ourselves with the right people to uplift us, to encourage us. And as Christians, man, it's important to have fellow believers helping us walk closer with the Lord, helping hold us accountable. We often mention iron sharpening iron, Proverbs 27:17, and how true that it really is. We need that. It's necessary. And football players have always had teammates from the time they grow up playing in peewee leagues to high school to college, and in the case of the pros in the NFL, and now this Legends community. And it continues to provide them with teammates, essentially, after their career is over. But all of us, like in life, we all need a squad like that to help us get through our daily struggles, if we have any, or even as we're going through life and we're feeling high and doing great things, like people to keep us grounded sometimes. And we need these resources. We need a support system. We need people who are going to strengthen us and build us up. So it's very important that we have squad goals. And that's what we're going to call this episode. Remy named it. She's always giving me these names and these ideas. So it's who is on our squad? Who is on your squad? What role do they play in our life? Are we influencing the people that we surround ourselves with, or are they influencing us? And are they doing it in a positive way or a negative way? And I feel like we should choose carefully, and sometimes it can be very difficult. And I know it's challenging for us, and Remy will talk about this later. Remy and I, it's very challenging for us because not all of our friends are believers, and even those who say they are, maybe they don't share our values or our priorities, and it's not like it's not as strong as our feelings are. And sometimes it raises doubt about certain friendships. But for me, I believe in it's important that we don't allow relationships to prevent us from doing what we know to be God's will for our lives. And if certain friends or even relatives, and we may encounter that often, think that our faith is foolish or it's silly, or maybe they're offended by the level of our faith, then those people probably shouldn't be part of our squad. We ought to reevaluate who's on our team. And there's this story in Mark 3:33-35, where Jesus and his own mother and his own brothers wanted to speak with him. And there's this gathering of people. And Jesus replies, "Who is my mother or my brothers? For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." And that is, when you think about how heavy that is, mm-hmm. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. It makes me oftentimes, like when I feel bad about going, I don't know if this person is in my squad or if I'm giving too much time to someone. We've really ought to choose our squad carefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, it's never an either or, right? It's never someone's in or someone's completely out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and that's usually what we end up doing, or at least that's sometimes what we can communicate. I think we have to recognize that we were made for a relationship, right? I mean, so in and of itself, God created us in the garden. When he made Adam, he walked with Adam and yet looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be alone, right? We need relationship both with him and with one another. And I think that the issue, I think, guys, in our generation, mm-hmm. is that we view all relationships as equal, and valid. So every relationship is equal and every relationship is valid. Instead, and that's where we get in trouble, because because that's where we stumble.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before, but for me, one of the greatest things we can see in Jesus' life is this various levels of intimacy that he shared with people.
Right.
Because Jesus, without a shadow of doubt, had, and I hear this all the time, Jesus hung out with people who were, quote, sinners, right? Sinners and drunkards, right? That was the thing.
Yeah.
You're right, he did. And he also had people who he spent every day with who are his disciples. And he did everything in between. So, you know, what we can see with Jesus is really the thing that I would really encourage us, as especially in this generation, to learn. You need to have your three. You need to have people who are the closest to you. Iron sharpening iron. The people who are speaking into your life and you're speaking into them, who you are vulnerable with and who can call you on your crap, because we all need that, right? But won't judge you when they call you on your crap, right? They do it in love.
Yeah.
And then we need to have our 12. We need to have people who we are pouring our life into, discipling, really being able, who are hungry for the word of God, the things of God, lifting them up and speaking into them. Then Jesus had 72. He had other disciples who came and went. They were the people in his life who, when they were there and ready to receive, he was willing to speak. And when they weren't, it was okay. There was no judgment on it. And then he had his 500, or what we just the crowd. And he never allowed the crowd to speak into his life. He never let the 72 speak into his life, determine his mission, right? They tried all the time. They want to make him king after he feeds them. And or they wanted him to be this type of Messiah or this type of leader.
Hey, up until his death, they wanted to protect him and save him
absolutely right.
Cutting off the soldier's ear. And
right. So he had to understand who he was and what his call was. Mm-hmm. He surrounded himself in relationships, but there was level of intimacy, not level of compassion, not level of kindness, levels of intimacy and authenticity, and of the levels of who he was going to allow to speak into his life and who he was going to speak into their life. And if we can learn that, man, our generation will be so much different.
From a psychology standpoint, we have something called a mirror neurons. We are wired for that. We are wired to, we cannot see ourselves. Like, I personally cannot see myself right now. So I am looking at everybody's faces to see what I'm feeling.
Yes.
Because you guys, your faces are telling me exactly if you understand me, if you're mad at me.
I need to smile and nod a little bit
smile
more.
And nod.
Rob was so serious for a second and he decided to smile. But this is how we understand each other from the mirror neurons. We are actually wired for that. God designed us that way to not be alone, to understand each other from our social interactions with one another. So if I just sit alone and do nothing and have no friends, I would ultimately not know who I am technically because I have zero social interactions. Like, I don't know if I'm kind.
Correct.
Or if I'm nice or if I'm mean because I don't have a social interaction.
Correct.
For someone to tell me, by the way, that was really mean.
Yes.
And the look on his face would tell me that I'm mean. But that's my mirrors. That's my neurons that are telling me this. So that's just from that perspective, from social perspective. But I think you said it, like, when you have friends, you have the 12 and you have the 3. I have that too, and I feel that there's people in my life that I've known for so many years, and I'm one of those people. I'm so, like, into long-term relationships with people, even my friends. No, I'm with you for life.
Right. But, like, good. I mean, that was good news, Rob. That was great.
I'm
just
set.
So you know, honey. Just,
I mean,
you know,
we kind of said, you know, for better or worse, so
you know
we're okay there.
So, yeah, we're good. You're one of the with the three, I guess.
Thanks.
I got you. But then, honestly, I had this friend that came to see me a week ago. And this friend is just a dear friend of mine. I've known her for, what, like 10, 12 years now? Mm-hmm. And granted, she's not a believer, but she's one of the coolest friends I've known for a long time. And she manages to always come visit me. She drives a long drive from Harrisburg to come see me and hangs out with me the whole, like, day or two or whatever. And last time she was here, she said something that really just kind of struck my heart. I actually almost cried because it was so cool. And I was telling her, like, you know, you're one of the coolest friends ever because you always come see me and you've been friends with me at my worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've known me at my worst.
Yes.
But you managed to just stay with me. And to this day, I'm at my best and you're still friends with me. And she looked at me and said, well, the friends that have known you at your worst and decided to stay with you till your best, those are your best friends. Those are the people that are going to stick with you for life. And I was like, girl, you're definitely squad goals. Like, I like you. Like, she's definitely in my squad. So I love her for that. And I love that we can have friends like that. I agree. Pretty awesome.
I love what you just said, Romy. I do think friends who are there with you in your lowest, who choose to stay with you, can absolutely become some of the deepest and dearest friends
that
we have.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I've learned, and I try to warn or at least make our people aware of, is that there's seasons of life.
Yeah.
Look, I love everybody I went to high school with, and I swore we were going to be best friends forever.
Right.
But it's a different season in life, and so we don't have to. When we're making decisions in the moment, we don't have to. Is this going to be my lifelong buddy?
Right.
No. The question is actually: is this someone who can speak health into my life today?
Yeah.
Is this someone who's willing to help create a healthy environment for me and for my family and for my life?
Yeah.
And if they're not, no matter how long they've been in that. We need to help transition that relationship, because longevity is not the requirement for depth of relationship. It's actually godliness.
You know, Kyle, a lot of people struggle with that. They struggle with that transition of going from one life to another. And Rob, you know, your testimony is so powerful of who you were in the past, and then you change. You change your identity, you change your beliefs, you change your values. But not everybody in that inner circle at that time understands that. They don't understand why you changed. So, you know, as you made that transition, just from a practical standpoint, what are some of the difficulties you faced, you know, when you accepted Christ as your Savior? Because that was, you had some close friends, some boys, you had a squad there.
Yeah, definitely.
We still talk about this a lot of people that knew Rob then, and I'm a different person now that still thinks I'm on their squad or that I was part of that. That's not who you are.
You know what? Oftentimes I feel uncomfortable, and sometimes I feel awkward, because there are people who knew me back then when I was running around doing a different lifestyle goals, and I had a different kind of a view of things, and now know me, and then they've kind of been on the outside. We're not as close. We're not hanging out. But sometimes if I see them, or if there are people that come into my life every now and then, people maybe who I've worked with and I see every couple of years, and they still think of, they don't know the real Rob.
Right.
They don't know the new Rob. You know, so I don't know how, if you're not on social media, like I put it all out there, right? It's all out there. Maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe you follow me and you muted me. I don't know. But, you know, it's some people don't recognize that, and they still think I'm stuck in the old ways. So they may make comments, or they may invite me somewhere, or they may want to do something with me that I'm not interested in anymore. And that's not who I am. And sometimes I struggle with, well, is this an opportunity for me to let them know who I am and what I'm about? And depending on the circumstance, depending on where I am, hey, if I'm writing on deadline and I'm trying, like, I don't have the time.
Right.
But it's a struggle, because you don't want to ever come across to someone like, hey, I'm better than you. Because it's not that I'm better than you. It's that the old me, and we go back to the episodes we did the last couple of weeks, the old me is dead.
Right.
Like, the old me is dead and buried. I like to say, like, that was who I was back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but that's not me anymore. So I don't live that way anymore. After a game now, I don't want to go party at a club or a bar. I want to go hang out with my wife and kids, and I want to get home early enough sometimes to tuck them in if I can and give them a kiss and have a conversation with my wife. So if you're asking me that, you know, I can say it in a way where it's not off-putting, or it's me coming across as condescending, because I don't want to tell people, like, hey, this is how you should live your life. Okay, this is what worked for me. This is how the Lord changed my life. And after, my priorities changed. I'm married. I have children. I've dedicated to living my life to trying to be a servant for Christ and trying to live my life in according to His image and likeness. So it's a very challenging thing when we transition from that, Doug. And I'll tell you, it's a struggle. It's a constant struggle.
Because somebody might turn around and be like, yo, you don't want to be boys with me anymore?
It happens.
And it may not be, hey, I don't want to, it's not that I don't want to be boys with you. It's not that I don't want to be friends with you. It's like, I just can't live my life that way.
Yeah.
Right? I can't participate.
Well,
like,
you know what? I'm going to get real for a second.
Go ahead.
Okay?
That's what I'm looking
I'm
going
to get real for a second.
Oh, boy.
There's people in my family, right, who have said to me, like, what's the matter now? You found Jesus and you don't remember your family, or you don't remember your old friends.
That. Yeah.
Right? So it's hard. It really is. It gets hard because, and as we're talking about this, it's like, here's another, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, no, maybe I want to win them for Christ. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I win them for Christ? Well, it's not on me to win someone for Christ.
This is my struggle
right now. But it's a struggle. It really is a struggle because, and Remy and I have these conversations
often.
It's like, okay, do we want to shut someone out? I'm of the like mindset. I never want to shut people out of my life.
Yeah.
Like I feel that people. There's a role for you in my life. Mm-hmm. Whether you're uplifting me or I'm uplifting you, whether you're encouraging me or whether you are motivation for me, I don't want to shut people out of my life. I like to positively influence them. And there are so many people, and you mentioned this, and it hits me hard because they knew the old me, mm-hmm. but they don't know the new me because I don't associate with them as closely. And I feel like, well, maybe I'm missing an opportunity.
Yeah, I think the challenge for all of us is learning how to navigate the difference between interaction and intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on here, Rob, because so often when we have a group of people that we have connected with, whether it's family or whether it's friends, their connection point is a past experience. So it's not a present reality, it's a past experience. So you're already starting in a place of where you're not. And that becomes difficult. So, you know, we have to learn that we can interact with people as within a healthy environment as long as they're willing to walk within that healthy environment.
Yeah.
And that's what then enables us to have various levels of intimacy. But when people want to just bring you back to a past experience as that being the groundwork for who we are, that's not who I am. And that's actually not healthy. So health is where are we today and what is a healthy relationship today look like as a, you know, for me, a 51-year-old, right, who has children, a child, and I have multiple businesses and I've got a bigger life. I didn't have that when I was 16.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not I'm not in any way marginalizing who I was or who we were when we were 16.
Mm-hmm.
But I that's not who I am today and it's not who they are. So it may be a point of connection, but it is not actually a point of health. And that's where we have to come back and say, because family does it all the time, but I'm your mom, I'm your dad, I'm your cousin, I'm your friend. Awesome. That's fantastic. Are you the person today? Is the way that you are today the person that can make me, create health in our environment? If there's no health, I have to navigate my interaction based off of what you are telling me you're unwilling to bring or you are bringing in my relationship. Mm-hmm. It does not devalue what you've given me or been to me. It's a recognition right now of where we are today.
Thank you for answering that question because this is our battle all the time. We're like, I don't know. There's people that you just meet or people that you've known for a long time and they just don't bring the best out of you. And it's not necessarily that there's anything happening in that environment that you're in. Like if you're at a party or something, they're not necessarily like doing anything wrong.
Correct.
But I'm just saying their presence make you uncomfortable sometimes because you just... You're not there. This it's not the same wavelength whatsoever. Like you're left and I'm right, and I'm not better than you, but I'm just like you're not bringing the best out of me, dude.
Remy,
like,
can
I
ask you a question on that? It was just really good because this will help. I think our listeners. If you went to a nice party, whatever reception, whatever, and Rob's ex girlfriend was there.
Oh, so it's gonna go down.
No, right. No, I mean, Rob didn't invite her or anything else.
Wait for the question.
Hey, wait. Coming in. Interject. No, it's not because we've been in situations like this, and you haven't known.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Hey, we're all about
honesty. I was trying to help
here.
You, brother. I was trying to help you.
But it's going down.
So there
right
wasn't
now.
Anything wrong with Rob dating a girl back then, right? So there wasn't anything wrong. We don't have to actually talk bad about that person, or even talk bad about their old relationship. You don't have to negate that, but. Who he is today and who you are today is not going to be the same level of intimacy he used to have with that ex-person. Correct?
Right.
Or we would have, or it would be unhealthy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that she was in my presence. You
I don't even remember,
and
but I know it's
I
over
found
the
found out
over in the eight over in the eight over the 8 year relationship we've had. This
found
has
out
happened.
Who she's with? Because she knows.
So
now.
I was trying to help you, Rob. I was trying to help you. I'm sorry.
This is going down.
Wait,
you guys.
Doug has made a point,
and
I don't know which episode it was, or maybe it was us talking off to the side. And I want you to reiterate. It fits perfectly in this episode. And you've said this. You have to be the same person you are in front of your Christian, quote unquote, Christian yeah. friends, like yeah. the person you are mm-hmm. in church, the person you are on the field, the person you are at work, the person you are now with those boys that you used to hang mm-hmm. out with, you have to always be that same person, and you don't want to resort or revert. Talk about that a little bit, because you've discussed that.
That was one of my struggles, especially in college, where going to a Christian college, I was playing baseball. I was, you know, majoring in athletic training, working with a lot of different athletes, having jobs and having friends, different scopes of friends, different yeah. groups of friends. And I really just reflected back and I was like, I think that if you looked at me in, you know, playing baseball, and then you looked at me, you know, with my church group friends, and we would get together on maybe a Friday night and play volleyball or do a Bible study. Yeah. Like, was I a different person with those groups? And I would say, yeah, I was. Well, and yeah. that was just a struggle that I would try and conform myself to who I thought mm-hmm. they wanted
You're
me
mirroring.
To be.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed mm-hmm. to yeah. really trying to, and you know, our family verse now is Matthew 5:16, you know, mm-hmm. and Rob, you said, be the salt of the mm-hmm. earth and yeah. shine your light. And mm-hmm. and I don't know that I was confident enough in who I was in my own yeah. identity that I tried to fit into all these different groups. And I think a lot of people do that. And maybe with this transition that you talk about when your life changes, that I still find my identity with those people who cared about me, that included me, that made me feel valuable. And then I transitioned to this other period where I don't necessarily have that intimacy that I had with those other friends. I'm still trying to develop that with new people. And I think that's what a lot of professional athletes find too. They've yeah. had strength coaches telling them how to work out. They've had Absolutely coaches right. that have tried to motivate them. They've had teammates that have uplifted them, that are going through the exact same thing, that not everybody else can understand what the demands of being a professional athlete in that world. Nobody understands. There are yeah, very, right. very few people that understand those demands and the attention that we can't handle.
And right? by the way, most of them are, when we get back to legends yeah. and what they're doing,
yeah.
we have to remember that most of these young men are still young men.
Yes.
Right? The average
right.
is, what, 4 years? So
right.
they're coming
yeah.
out at 21, 22, 23. They're 27. And then That's what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, they have young families. They don't know. Or even if you play 10 years, which is a long time.
Yeah.
You're, what, 31,
you're
32?
You're still a
right?
young
man. I mean, you're
yeah.
such a young man. Something you said, Doug, that's really, we I think, bring to the light is that our human nature, our fallen human nature, loves comfort.
Yeah.
Right? But faith has grown in the challenge.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why, Rob, when we get in with our old crowd, mm-hmm. there is a level of comfort because
yeah.
we know all the old jokes. We know
yeah.
all that, right? Everybody
it's
reminds
fun,
us, and there's
yeah.
something, yeah, there's something comforting about that moment.
Yeah.
But faith is developed in the challenge, right? So,
yeah.
hey, Peter, get out of the boat. And step into this stormy sea.
Yeah.
That's where faith was developed. His friends were in the boat.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the friends in the boat. It was when God's trying to take you somewhere, you have to become uncomfortable in that. And I do think that's where some of the challenge is, when we only allow the people who are comfortable to speak into our lives.
I want to make it clear that this episode, we're not trying to say in no way that, like, if you're a believer, you only associate with people
oh,
who have
absolutely.
No
right.
There is no way. And there's a verse that I think may sometimes be misconstrued, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you my take on it, and I want to hear how you can explain it better. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:13-15, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" And sometimes people will take that out of context and be like, "Oh, Paul says it here in 2 Corinthians, yeah. like I can only associate," and that, like, if you're only hanging out with people who are just like you in church, if you are only going to a church where everyone looks like you,
yes,
that's not church.
You're
man.
Missing out.
That's
bro.
Not the house.
Absolutely.
Like, you
how
want
are we
to be
reach people for
yeah,
Christ?
Like, exactly. Yeah. But I think Paul's using this example, like, as he's trying to compare preserving a close relationship with people who have not made that same commitment that you have to God, that who do not have that same goal mm-hmm. to be Jesus's, like, you know, even though we're men, be his bride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And believers and unbelievers, we do have different goals. We do have different interests and different values. And all of us, like, our selfish desires, sometimes all of us, whether we're believers or not, is contrary to God's will. So we can easily be influenced. And that's where he's saying is surrounding ourselves with people who have different goals could lead us away from doing God's will. And that's where we have to be able to maintain relationships, but preserve that. We are not going to allow these relationships to take us away from what God's will is for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Paul is actually referring to, he's going back to what's found in the law in the Old Testament. You know, when the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22, you know, don't plow with a donkey and an ox.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying, look, don't put two different creatures in the same yoke and try to, because what will happen is the line of that you're trying to produce in the ground, the plow won't go in the direction you want it to go. It's going to be uneven. It's going to not be beneficial for what you're trying to sow and harvest. He's talking about intimate, consistent, deep relationships with people. He's not talking about having a relationship with people in the world because he's already talked about in the whole letter before this, 1 Corinthians, right? We need to have interaction with the world. We need to be in the world and not of the world, right? It's counter to everything Jesus is just to be by ourselves. He's talking about deep intimacy level of marriage. He's talking about deep intimacy level of allowing, who are you walking through deep things in your life with, because look, when Dee and I first got married, we were pastors. We loved Jesus. She went to Bible college. I was in seminary. You know, we had deep theology, but can I tell you, it was really still hard to figure out how to raise Jake. Son, just agree on parenting, because of our various backgrounds, how we were raised, our traditions, all that comes into play. This is how we do it. But at the end, our foundation was the Bible. Yeah. So we had to go back to what did the Bible say. But if you don't have that foundation as the Bible and what the Word of God is, the will of God and the Spirit of God, well then, man, there's no foundation that you can build upon. And that's when Jesus says you're building on sand. It is destined to fall. Absolutely, Rob. This has nothing to do. Paul is not in any way talking about don't have relationship with outside. That is counter to Christianity. It's about deep intimacy of things.
We got to remember the power of example. And you mentioned this a little bit ago, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We can become an example to all to everyone that we care for in hopes that they too can receive the same blessings of a life in God that we have. So if you ever shut yourself off from people who don't have the same beliefs and faith that you have, you're missing out. You're missing out on that opportunity. When we come back, we're going to hear from Donovan Darius. This is Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, Doug will tell you how to catch up.
You know, a lot of people have questions where to go. FaithOnTheFieldShow.com is the place to get all of our past episodes from the past two seasons, and also Rob's blog, you know, great thoughts on a weekly basis. Also subscribe to our email so you'll get our blog and each weekly episode delivered right to your inbox.
Also, I'm often asked about speaking appearances, where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be there. We post those on our social media along with my social. So if you want to come out and hear me share a special, powerful message, make sure you follow and we'll let you know when and where. And if you want to come out and hear Kyle Horner preach, the Connect Church, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Randolph, and Philadelphia. Doug, we got this show started a few years ago, and we've told people oftentimes how you and I got to know each other, and we lived in the same neighborhood, four, five, six houses away, and the tragic story of your son, Luke, passing away. And this past week, we got to do something that was pretty cool. First, you guys unveiled the Church League Softball League that we're both in. You unveiled the field that is dedicated to your son, Luke, and you had that. It was an awesome ceremony. So many people came out. And then my team got a chance to play against your team, and I thought it was just so cool. Like, it was surreal. I'm standing there at second base, and I'm looking out at the sheep and the llama and the farm, and I'm going, wow, this is pretty cool. I know there's some sheep here. I don't know if there was llama, but to me, I have character identification issues. My kids know animals way better than I do. I'm like, was that a cow? They're like, daddy, it was a horse. I'm like, I don't know, whatever it is. But animals aside, like, just being there and looking up behind home plate and seeing the LDH was pretty special. It was really cool. And I just wanted to, you know, have you tell everybody how important that is to you.
It's unbelievably important. You know, for loving sports my entire life, it was such a a blessing for people to turn around and say, hey, instead of flowers or a charity to give money to when Luke passed away, how about we build a field at church and we'll call it Luke's Field? Right. I honestly, it took me about 3 weeks to even mention it to somebody. Every time I even thought it, like if I was having a conversation, I couldn't get it out. Like it was so, so powerful and loving that that's something that really means a lot to me. It took 4 years to get the field, so it God taught me a lot of patience because I wanted it to happen so bad. You know, you're talking with city and townships and certifications and all these things you had to get. So a couple weeks ago we got to play the first game and it was a beautiful night. A lot of people from the community, from church came out and we were able to play, and it just meant so much to be out there and to think that this field is going to make an impact. And you know, Matthew 5:16, as I said, it's our family verse. That's on a plaque right on the third baseline.
That's
so it says
so cool.
Luke's Field, and it has Matthew 5:16.
Awesome. I love it.
And so that's what we're hoping that the field does. And then obviously looking at the schedule to know that, you know, you and I were going to play against each other. It's not just a matter of us being friends and, you know, squad members, but that you meant a huge piece in my life and for Faith in the Field to start around Luke's passing and all that that's meant. It was a pleasure to play on the field with you last night. And that was something that, just not playing on the field, but play with you, like that does mean a lot too. So,
I was trying to go yard for Luke and dedicate one to him, hit one in the parking lot, and I did. I don't know if we get to play there again. I got to hit a home run for Luke. I couldn't. I fell short, man.
Sorry,
fell short.
It was the llama's fault.
I fell short.
Unfortunately, he fell short and I dropped it, but that was a home run. I need to go there.
So, by the way, who won that game?
Well, you know, our team did.
Yeah,
they are defending champions. I played with them last year.
Yeah.
And unlike KD, like Kevin Durant and LeBron, they like to join teams that are really good.
Yeah, you took your talent elsewhere.
I wanted to go to
elevate.
A team that was rebuilding.
I appreciate that. You were trying to elevate others, brother. I understand.
I'm like, you know what? This team, they're champions.
Right.
They're stacked. You guys can hit bombs up and down the lineup. I was like, I want to go to a rebuilding squad. And boy, I picked one.
You did.
I'm so glad.
You did.
Yeah, we're on. It's fun. It's
a good,
awesome.
Hey, it's a great league, and there's a lot of great guys that are in there. And, you know, a lot of guys that play in that league, you know, are part of the Deacon's Prison Ministry, which we've gotten to serve in prisons. And so I'm glad that they get to practice on Luke's Field. And for everybody that's ever, you know, follow us on Facebook or contributed to the field, it's just a huge blessing. And I'm really thankful and praise God that the field's actually usable now.
Hey, and if anybody wants to come out and watch a game there, there's a Facebook page with the Gloucester County,
Gloucester County Christian Softball Conference.
Yeah, and it tells you what the schedules are. And so you play for Fellowship. The games are there. If you want to come out and check it out and see Luke's Field, that would be great. Guys, Donovan Darius, last week we had a local guy, Vance Johnson, who lives in the area and grew up in Trenton. Well, Donovan Darius grew up right across the river from our studio in Camden, New Jersey, and he went to Woodrow Wilson High School. Then he went on to Syracuse. He was a first-round pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars, 25 overall in 1998. He played 9 seasons for the Jags, a few games with Miami a season after that. I chatted with Donovan in Atlanta at the Super Bowl, and here is that interview. I want to welcome to the show Donovan Darius, who is now former player, but now is part of the NFL Legends community. And what you guys are doing, Donovan, is great work for not only the players who were in the game, guys who are transitioning out of the game, future guys. Tell me about the work, the importance of it, and how much you guys can influence and really help these men as they go from playing in the NFL to moving on to the next phase of their lives.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on this show. One of the things about most NFL players is that they do not leave the game on their own terms. And so what they do is majority of them go through a period of loss. And when you go through that stage, I mean, a lot of times they can become bitter. They can have denial. They can go through some things of depression just because of what they're used to for so many years they don't have. And so one of the things that the league has done probably since 2012 was they started a program which was the NFL transition coaches.
Right.
And those transition coaches, they trained us in 80-something hours with organizations coming in so that we can kind of be like the Navy SEALs for the NFL, meaning building relationships with guys as they were transitioning. But then after that year happened, they said, you know what, we want to embrace every player We want to embrace every player as the brotherhood. We right. want that as a fraternity. Let them know that when you played and you spent one time with this shield, you're part of this brotherhood. Whether you play 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter. You're part of the Legends community. You're part of this brotherhood.
And it's interesting you say that, because when I was talking to Troy Vincent about this, it's not it's we think of the term legend, right? And we think yeah. of the names like Joe Montana, Walter Payton, Joe mm-hmm. Namath, all these guys. These are the legends. But to reach this level, mm-hmm. There's so many people in this world, so many kids who aspire to be NFL yeah. football players. To reach that level, yeah. to actually play in a football game, whether it's just one preseason game, you're a legend in your own right.
Right.
You are a legend. And the way you're embracing these guys right. and bringing them into that community is so important. Tell me yeah. about that dynamic.
Well, you're exactly right. So understanding this, a legend is not defined by how long you play, because we understand that you're a legend somewhere yeah. in your high school, in your community, in your college, and in even the NFL. Less than 1% get a chance to make it to this level, even just to, like as you mentioned, just to play one game. And so we want them to know that, hey, you're a legend because of what you've done, and you fought for this shield. You played under the shield, and we embrace you just as much.
There's a lot of different diversity among these guys.
Yeah.
Some guys want to – maybe they need help. They've fallen on some hard times.
Yeah.
Some guys are doing well professionally, but maybe they need some help building sure. that brand, marketing. We're in a yeah. new era, yeah. social media, all this stuff. Talk about the diversity right. among the community, among yeah. the former players. You could yeah. be dealing with one guy going through one issue right. and another guy on a completely other level.
Sure. Well, here's the great thing. It starts with the mission of the Legends community. We're here to connect. We're here to celebrate and embrace every former player that's ever played. So it starts with the mission. And so if you think about it visually, we're like an overarching umbrella. We're like the navigators as a Legends community to get you connected to whatever source or resource you need. Now, one of those resources could be one of the NFL programs, like a career enhancement, yeah. an educational program, or it could be the trust, the NFLPA's trust, where they have other different programs, or it could be the Gridiron Great. So it doesn't matter. The great thing I love about the Legends community is that it crosses over every line to get you connected to whatever you need to be connected with, regardless of your situation. You can have, within the Legends community, guys have entrepreneurs, guys are entrepreneurs, guys are franchisees. Some guys may be doing well, some guys may not be doing well, but it doesn't matter. You're part of the brotherhood, and our role is to connect, celebrate, and embrace you right where you're at.
Ultimately, we are all equal in God's yeah. eyes, and I love to tell people that, hey, whether you're a Hall of Famer or whether you never played a down in your life in the NFL, it doesn't matter what you accomplish, how much money you make. We're all the same. We're all equal. We're all children of God. And that's where I lay my foundation on.
And I lay my foundation the same way. I think about this. God says, I made you in my image and in my likeness. And he's given us an opportunity and a responsibility here. I think of the NFL and college, any sports, as a plane ride. You're going to get on the plane, but then pretty soon you're going to get off of the plane. And if you plan what am I going to be doing, or at least where I want to go when I get off the plane, then you can get off and start in that direction. For some guys who do not have a plan, they find themselves lost at the airport. And so is thus is in life, not just football. If we don't understand that change is continual, everything changes, then we'll find ourselves in a lost position. But knowing and having faith, understanding that I'm here for a purpose. Everything has a purpose, and this has just happened to be one chapter of it. And I'm no more important than the next man. I'm someone who's been embraced, been called, and has a purpose to fulfill, and I need each other, other people to fulfill that.
Well, Donovan Darius, I appreciate you spending a few minutes talking about the NFL Legends community, talking a little bit about your faith in the Lord. Thank you so much and wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you, man. God bless you.
And that was Donovan Darius, former NFL safety. We're going to talk about that interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. We just heard Donovan Darius talk about the work that he's doing, tremendous work, awesome work that he's doing with the NFL Legends community. He mentioned how God has created us in his image and likeness and how we each have a platform. And I want to talk about that for a minute. How often do we really think of the magnitude of that statement? That we are created in the image and likeness of God. And if like we can really fathom that, the sinners that we are, the selfish people that we are, like we're still, man, we're created in God's image and likeness. And there's so much that I think of when I try and just like comprehend that. And one is like, I should always, I want to strive to do my best to try to love like God loves and forgive. Like God forgives. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about squad goals on this show. And sometimes we want to cut people out the squad because we can't forgive because people hurt us. And man, look at the forgiveness God has for us and the love that he shows for us. And what better way to show anyone, a friend, someone who is in your inner circle, someone who's on the periphery of your circle, someone who you just like show love. If we're created in the image of God, if we can just try and as best we can show the love that he shows for us, and there's nothing that we can't do that we can do without him and do through him. And we talk about Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength all the time. And the other thing, Donovan's analogy to being on a plane ride, and if you don't have a plan after you get off that plane, he said, you'll be stuck at the airport. And he's applying it to college players, NFL players, and then anyone in sports. That really applies, man, to all of us. If you don't have a plan, you're going to get stuck at the airport of life.
Yeah.
And I think about retirement, right? I mean, like so many different stages in our life that we go through. And that meant a lot to me just from mentoring college students, right? Like, hey, you can try and get a job, but what else, right? What else are you going to do with that? Yeah. And I think that once you get that first job, like, okay, well, I'm just going to have a job the rest of my life. But it's not really intentional about what we're doing until we retire. Right?
Correct.
And then all those decisions that we make up until that point. So, you know, it's amazing what the Legends Foundation is doing and just kind of working through this just to mentor these young guys that are getting all this money, all this attention on how to be intentional about their life.
Yeah, because the end destination for many of them was the NFL. Yeah. I just want to become a pro football player, right? Yeah, exactly. And then after this, how do we build a life of significance after what we thought was the most significant thing in our life is gone? Mm. Yeah. And, you know, we talk to our guys all the time about planning and dreaming about a significant life that surpasses who you are as a player.
Yeah.
So what does legacy really look like? And I think that's, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, we use the analogy of a bus. Life is like a bus, right? You got to know where you're going.
Yeah.
But people get on and get off. It doesn't mean that the ride that they had on that was wrong. It's just that's and some people ride for a long time and some people don't.
Right.
And that's part of that. And Rob, you said something that's really interesting about learning about forgiveness. And I will just say, you know, I think a lot of times we stumble with forgiveness because we think at times when to forgive somebody, we have to say what they did is okay.
Yeah.
And we have to then get back in relationship with them. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness actually, you know, there's kind of three levels of relationship after an offense. There's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, and then there's restoration. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is what we're called to do. Forgiveness is the extension of grace, giving somebody what they don't deserve, right?
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we're the ones that are suffering. We're drinking poison and expecting that other person to die, right? It's just it poisons our heart. Reconciliation is the extension of mercy, giving them what they don't deserve. That's being able to say, I know you don't deserve this because you did hurt me.
Right.
However, I'm not going to hold that hurt against you.
Right.
However, that does not mean that we have to restore that relationship back to the level that it was before. If someone has abused you, raped you, beat you, hurt you, you can forgive and actually you can extend mercy, right? Forgiveness and grace and mercy and still not restore that relationship back.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I mean, I've been through relationships like that, like big deal issues, what I had to forgive. But as you said, I don't have to come to a point where I have to be like, okay, no, we're buddies now.
Restoration,
we're not.
Absolutely, right.
We're just
yeah.
not.
Correct.
Like, we are going to be at a place where, hi, how are you? I love you, but I don't have to make you in my squad. Like, it's just
absolutely.
You're not in my squad.
Well, I mean, we actually see it
cool.
in Jesus' life, and I know
yeah.
we talk, 'cause we base yeah. everything on Jesus, but two people on his arrest let him down.
Peter?
Really offended him, right? Could have offended him. Peter and Judas.
Yeah.
And we always think, oh, Judas gets the bad rap, but both of them really did betray Jesus in the deepest parts.
Yeah.
The difference of restoration was that one actually stepped back in and received grace and mercy and wanted to change.
Yes.
The other said, I hear you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you can offer
yeah.
me. I choose not to walk in that.
Yeah.
And that's where the separation. Not that it ever changed in Jesus' heart. He always wanted there to be restoration.
Right.
But how someone responds to that
yeah.
determines the level.
Man, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Squad goals. Really enjoyed this, guys. I want to thank all our listeners and our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, Donovan Darius. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman. He does such excellent work on our website, our podcast, our blog. He just makes us look so much better than we could do it on our own. Jim Henderson does awesome work for us behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors who make this happen. 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.